Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, Freeview 277, online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and that's stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello, Paul Andrews.
Hello, you're right.
Yeah.
Paul, you caused me grief last week.
Oh, the water butt.
Well, your butt, your big butt.
My big butt.
Your big butt caused me grief.
Butt was too big, wasn't it?
Yeah, you got a big butt, you
too
had.
Too big.
Yeah.
That's all the coconut oil, I guess.
I would think so.
Yeah, you didn't like my smoothie, did you, that I put on it?
I tell you what, it looked like a pig pen. I can't be. It was horrible. She sent me a picture of a smoothie she'd made, and if there would have been a hippo wallowing it, it would have made sense.
It's the cacao, darling. It's the cacao, organic.
Well, what else was in it? You normally make that green muck.
Yeah, I normally make a really lovely green organic smoothie, which is on a Monday to Friday. Me and the new husband have it, and then the weekend we have egg and bacon. So it's usually a little organic chopped up celery stick. And then a handful of spinach, a lovely apple.
A hippo.
Kentish. A couple of hippos. No, not really. Some coconut cream, organic. That's what I put in it. Oh, marine collagen, organic.
Fish skin, yeah.
Marine collagen. And a big heaped spoonful of cacao and some frozen berries. And you whiz it up, but of course, because of the cacao, it goes brown. So Paul Andrews has no idea what is in there and doesn't know, but honestly, it gives you a zing. You don't get to look like this at my age. I mean, I'm 89 or 90, I've forgotten. We have that, me and my new husband. But the marine collagen, I've got the whole family on it now, like my youngest.
It's just fish skin.
My youngest, Trey.
It's fish skin.
I know, but I'm not going to get my koi carp out the pond and grind them up.
Wipe your goldfish around your face. I mean,
I did put a little face pack on this morning.
A cod?
Cod's wallop.
Yeah.
I had a little swim, and then I was up early.
Hold on. So what does this fish collagen do exactly?
It's for your joints, really.
Your joints?
Yeah, you know, your little... Oh. It's collagen is in our skin, isn't it?
It's fish skin, that's why.
It's for your hair, your nails, your...
Do you get the same benefit with fish fingers?
Maybe.
I like a fish finger sandwich.
It's not an oily fish, is it, cod?
No, true. It's got to be oily, like a sardine or a mackerel.
So my new thing, which is very hip, very New York, darling, very NYC.
Yeah, go on.
Is to stir it in my coffee. So you can put...
Fish skin in your coffee?
It's got absolutely no flavour. I dare you to try it. I'll show you what I buy. It's organic. It has
She's a witch, right? She's a witch. She has a cauldron, and she has, you know, eye of newt and toe of toad and cacao and coconut and fish skin and a little bag of...
Homeopathy.
A little bag of the dangly bits from rodents and all... It's just horrible.
Chopped up bits from old news radio presenters, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
When they annoy me a little bit here, a little bit there.
Yeah.
Anyway, water butts was a big disappointment, so we're not supposed to mention this in case folks and council are listening. It was not the council. It is
Southern Water.
Southern Water. Them of the sewage in the sea, all around UK, actually, the sewage in the sea. It's not just us in Whitstable. So they were giving away free water butts in Swalecliff area because that's where the big sewage pipe is. They're apparently spending £22 million to take the pipe out a little bit further.
Yeah, that's good.
What will that do?
What's a France?
Maybe that would serve them, right? But that's just going to come back in and still kill the wildlife, though. I don't really get that.
Hmm.
Long story short, my new husband got very excited because we've got a hosepipe ban. So they all came round. Three blokes came round.
Big butt.
They oohed and aahed and sucked their bottom lip.
Oh, they would do. Can't put it there, love.
Then the hands went on the hips.
Yeah.
And they said, it's not about containing your rainwater so you can water the garden. It has to go into a drain.
Right.
And we only had one drain. We did have another drain, but we've got...
Hold on. What's the point in collecting runoff water in a butt and then putting it in the drain? It's just going in the drain anyway.
It's about runoff, and when it rains, that's when the sewage comes out because they can't cope because they built a million houses on the sunny way. You'll have to call them, I don't know. Anyway, that was the thing. And our big green egg, which is very, very heavy and a great big thing, you know, cookery thing in the garden, they wanted us to move that, and we haven't got anywhere else to put it. And there was a drain there, so my new husband said no.
Right.
So my new husband doesn't know because we're a bit short of money at the moment because I'm spending a lot on my AstraZeneca
drugs,
vaccine injury. So lots and lots of potions. So he said, no, don't buy a water bag, don't buy, but I bought one. And of course, you know me, it's not an old plastic one, it's really nice.
Oh, it's a designer water bag, obviously.
And
yeah.
You can plant up the top.
Yeah, yeah. It's obviously an organic free range water bag, obviously.
He doesn't know. But it was quite a lot of money. But the bad thing is, I think it's being delivered today. I was hoping to smuggle it in.
And Gavin's at home, and somebody's going to turn up and go, got your water butt, mate. And he's going, no, we've already turned that away.
I know, and he's at home with
and they're going to go, no, your missus bought this one.
I know.
But it was only £1,000.
There's going to be anxiety. Mm. But, you know, I earn my bread as well, so I say it came out of my house keeping money, not his. the way you snort as well, when I
just say... Yeah, just
made me snort. What's the word? Derivative? Or what's the word? Condescending?
Yeah, patronising. Yeah,
exactly, patronising you. Anyway, and the other thing was...
Mm.
We have a lovely little green triangle. When you go to your home bay, you'll have to come visit me on the way, because I always have a supply of Carver sparkling in the fridge.
For breakfast, this is.
Yeah. So do pop by, and we can get some chairs out on the slopes, and then I can meet your sister and all the little siblings and things.
Perfect.
And long story short, what was I saying?
I
can't remember. Oh, yeah. So there on our road, there's a lovely little green triangle, which is nothing. It's just a triangle that people use as a roundabout. Because it's a one-way system. And the council, just when it gets nice and tall with lovely daisies and buttercups, come and mow it down. So it's now a brown mush. And so I, again, have tweeted the Green Party, who I voted for.
Yeah.
Sort it out.
Jules had so many goes at Canterbury City Council, they actually lost the council vote eventually.
Yeah. We got three Greens in this time.
Yeah.
Although I'm still not convinced about the Greens.
They
said they'd sort it out.
They're weird.
I think I'm going for reform. What do you think about reform?
I don't believe in any political party in this country. I think they're all a bunch of idiots and they should all go away and leave people alone.
It's a joke, isn't it, what's happening at the moment? We are a mess, aren't we?
Yeah. Anyway, enough of that.
We don't really do politics.
We don't do politics on this show.
Try and avoid it, yeah. But I would say, though, Andrew Bridgeton, he's lovely. I like him, I've met him.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
And Sir Christopher Choate, of course. Anyway, the finger's out, the wagging finger, so should we get on with the show?
We could try. I mean, it's only 8 minutes past the start of the show. We might as well give it a go at starting it.
Listen, I saw Nurse Liz tweeted this morning.
So did she? Morning, Liz.
Yeah, so she might be listening in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
5000.
She, quite possibly, yeah.
Yeah, I'm feeling quite zippy at the moment. It
must obviously.
Be all those green smoothies.
Yeah. Hello, Liz. Hope you're well. Hope everything's good on the East Coast there of the United States.
Yes.
As opposed to here, where we got thunderstorms.
Oh, but it's lovely, wasn't it? I think it was very orderly. Mm. I saw a beautiful sunset last night, tweeted that out.
Mm.
Then this morning, all dark, cloudy skies. I love that. It's all
just
atmospheric. And then the rain came down. I ran out getting all the cushions in, of course, as you do, because the new husband never gets them in at night. I wish he would.
No, they're still out.
I have a load. Oh, are they still out?
They're still out,
It's a thing, isn't it? In, out, in, you know, if you're in South Africa, you leave them out all the time.
All the time.
Exactly. If you're in South France, you leave them out.
Why don't you just get waterproof cushions?
They are, but if you leave them out, they all drip, don't they, for ages and take ages to dry out.
Yeah.
We've got a beautiful Indian parasol, like with all, you know, little glittery bits in, and my new husband keeps leaving that, and it's going to fade, I'm telling you, because it's all hand vegetable dyed. Organic.
Well, it's organic, isn't it?
Organic, yeah. Marine collagen in it.
Yeah.
So, I know, you know the seagull saga where they've been eating my koi carp and leaving them stabbed because there's a net now. We've had to put a net.
Yeah.
So they stabbed
How is she
net.
These days?
Well,
a net, yeah. Is she right?
Doing very well, actually.
Scaring the keep.
We've had to raise her up a bit because the beak...
Got clear off, seagulls!
So I decided to buy one of those kite hawk things.
Oh, right, yeah.
And we had great fun. Well, Shay was there at the weekend. Shay's my youngest, he's 27. And he was there at the weekend, and he was having great fun running around the garden like a baby. I said, "It's not quite point." So it's on a long pole, and it, you know, flies about. But then I realised, because I've been enticing little dicky birds into my garden, because Canterbury Council have been...
Dicky what?
Dicky birds.
Oh, dicky birds.
Because Canterbury Council have been ruining all the habitat, so they've destroyed all these buckthorn bushes for no reason.
Yeah.
You know, largest roost of sparrows, and what else was it? Blackbirds, weasels, a nightingale. All gone, mowed to the ground. It's just awful, makes me want to cry. So I've been enticing them into my garden, these little homeless birds. But then I realised the birds weren't coming because of this great big thing.
Well, no, no, no.
You can't win, can you?
You can't, yeah.
I just want the seagulls out.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want the sparrows and the little dicky birds.
Yeah.
I want them in. And I've got Robin.
You need passport control, don't you? You're a seagull, you're not allowed in. Off you go.
I think we've
sparrow over there in that queue, blackbird in that queue, seagulls clear off.
Yeah. What about this poor, awful submerged submarine down by the Titanic?
It's a bit ironic, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a bit ironic to take a submarine to look at the sunken wreck of the Titanic and then sink.
I think they've only got a few hours left.
48 hours of oxygen left. I saw a report this morning. I didn't look at it or read any reason behind it or know what it's about. But apparently, for some reason, a British rescue team aren't allowed to go and rescue them. I don't know why.
Where is the Titanic buried?
In the seabed.
Yeah, but which area? Atlantic.
Yeah.
What, near America? Or get Nurse Liz out there on a little patrol.
On a pedalo.
She'd sort
Liz,
it out.
Off you go. In your kayak.
She's a nurse. Yeah. It is really sad to imagine being down there because there's father.
Horrible.
And on my journey in from Whitstable, ladies, I talk to you because, you know, you're sweeter. So I come, you know, via Faversham and Ashford and all that. So I listen to a variety of radio shows on just to hear stuff. So I start off with Ken Bruce on Greatest Hits because he's lovely. He's brilliant. And then I move over to the news. This morning I listened to GB News, because it's not so censored as BBC News, and listen to that. But it's so funny, isn't it? Because when you're on DAB, DAB, you just lose it every now and then.
Oh, DAB's appalling.
You get whole bits of silence.
Around Kent, there are so many dead spots in DAB, it's unbelievable.
So,
and of course, once you get to the coast, you're not allowed to DAB anyway, because it interferes with the shipping.
Oh, does it?
Mm.
Okay. Well, we don't want to stop the migrants from coming in. We must help them.
It's all the shipping there because of the marine frequencies that they use, and DAB overlaps it.
You know that Sam bought biscuits in.
I do. I saw them.
But they're not out.
That was subtle, wasn't it?
She's brought them in, but there's no sign of them on the desk.
Oh,
where have they gone?
Have you eaten them?
I haven't touched them. She's accusing me of eating your biscuits, Sam.
You definitely didn't eat them.
No.
I put them safely on the filing cabinet.
They're up there. I can see.
Oh.
I can see they're on top of the fridge.
And they're very posh ones.
Yeah.
What's that? I've got my glasses.
That was
somebody cunning hob.
Sam, that was an incredible...
Border biscuits.
Border biscuits?
Yeah. They're the best.
Are they from up north?
No, I don't know.
From what border?
I don't know.
From?
They're from the shop.
Which shop on which border?
Yeah. That was incredibly subtle of them, wasn't it? Saying, can I have a biscuit? They're up there. Go and get them.
Sorry, but 11s is well past.
No.
Yeah, it's
lunchtime. We're on onesies.
Okay. I thought 2.
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
All right. We'll have a nice cuppa.
A nice cuppa at 2 with a few biscuits.
Yeah. We'll be speaking later to Sally, who's from up north. So we can. She'll tell us all about Stamford pork pies, Timmy Dealers.
Betty's
tea.
Fat Rascals.
Fat Rascals?
Yeah. Rascal.
Rascal, oh yeah. Fat Rascal in your bath. Yeah, so, so we'd love to hear from you as usual.
No, we wouldn't because the show's almost finished.
You can tweet us using the BBunker hashtag as always. And we're listening, so at VanillaWeb, him, and at Jules Serkin, me, that's my name.
Chips and Dinks have tweeted,
oh,
it may be a bit stormy today, but the sun is coming round the same time as the Business Bunker goes on air. So two things to look forward to. Thank you. That's the lovely Bev and Tony at Chips and Dinks.
Well, I told you, I've got some scratches on my Merc again. I don't know who's done them.
Who did that?
Some varmint in the car park. Little scratches. But you never know, do you, whether to get them done, but then some more will come.
Save them all up.
Save them all up.
Get them all done in one go. I Trust Assurance has asked for a Business Bunker shout-out, and of course they can have a Business Bunker shout-out, because they're always going to have a Business Bunker shout-out. Chips and Dinks have tweeted again, Business Bunker does great shout-outs too, supporting businesses and owners. Yes, we do. Thank you for that, guys. Mr. Rant Bottom. Cornelius has been on, but this is a business-related tweet.
Yeah, yeah.
He says, if you're thinking of switching to battery-based garden machinery, then go and see Mopower in Harrietsham. They've been selling battery machines for over 10 years now, and they know the good from the bad and the ugly. They've even got £20,000 worth of demo equipment that you can take home to try.
Well, I suggested that you have a go because you've got a bigger patch.
Yeah.
Because mine is mostly dug up by the greyhound.
Yeah, well, I found a way around that.
What?
I just employed a man to come and do it, and he bought his own tools.
That's Dan, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dan Juby.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, he's very handsome. You know, what I like...
Who cares?
I like... Well, I do. I like Dan Juby to come round. He's very, very handsome.
Yeah, but I like him to come and do work. You like to just go and look at him.
I make him coffee, yeah. You know, chat, you know. But my husband, my new husband, calls him Dan Dubious because yeah. He's a bit jealous.
Yeah.
He's younger and more handsome.
Damn.
Yeah. But he's...
Luckily, Gavin doesn't listen to this show. Kim Stevens from Caring Kent has said, Hello, Kim. I'd love a business bunker shout out, please. Hope everyone is well and having a great day. Lots of love, Kim. Well, thank you, Kim. That's Kim Stevens from Caring Kent. Consider yourself well and truly shouted out.
Yeah, Whitstable Greens are sending me now lots of pictures of beautiful meadows that Canterbury Council have barbarically just ruined.
Yeah.
And they were being looked after by residents in Herne Bay. So there's one for you. I'll show you the picture. It was a lovely look, all fenced off, and they've come and butchered it.
That's not good, is it?
Doesn't make sense, does
it? Not good, is it? Right. The Spirit of Kenterton Festival.
Ooh.
Which is all about street food, music, crafts. There's a dog show.
Ooh.
And there's much more. And it's happening over the weekend of Friday the 30th of June and the 1st and 2nd of July. And it's been sponsored by the Tenterton Chamber of Commerce. And that's happening on the recreation ground in the centre of Tenterton. The Spirit of Tenterton Festival... weekend off the next, that isn't it? 30th of June and 1st and 2nd of July.
Yeah.
Get down there. It'll be good fun.
Where was it? Tenterton?
Yeah, Spirit of Tenterton.
Oh. And it's this Saturday?
No.
Sorry, I was tweeting.
You weren't listening, were you?
No, I was tweeting.
I'll try again. It's the Spirit of Tenterton, so yeah. It tends to be held in Tenterton.
Yeah.
Because it's the Spirit of Tenterton Festival.
I heard
Festival.
That bit.
Yeah. And it's on Friday the 30th of June, Saturday the 1st and Sunday the 2nd of July. And there's street food. Music, live music, crafts, a dog show.
Okay.
Yeah, and much more.
I think my dog would win all of the dog show things.
Right.
I might take her.
Right.
It's the last chance to take advantage of free business support workshops. The last getting investment ready free 2-day workshop is taking place on the 21st and the 22nd of June at the Maidstone Innovation Centre. The free workshop offers information and advice on developing and becoming commercially viable. It's aimed at those looking for investment into products or services. And the training will be delivered by NCL Technology Ventures, and it will include an overview of the fundraising process, analysis of technology, sales and market, financial planning and scalability, communication and identifying potential investors and pitching, most important. You can book your place by going, there's a little email here which I'll read out. It's S for sugar, E for egg, I for igloo, P for Peter, at NC for cabbage, ITV.co.uk. There's a little phone number as well which I'll read out. That's 01622 291166. And also, of course, all information, as usual, will be on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Sure. Jules and the phonetic alphabet, eh? Cheesy Tunies time.
Ooh.
You'll get this easily.
Shwaddy Waddy.
Three steps to heaven.
Ah.
You see what I did
up
there?
All night.
Yeah.
Very good.
Hold her tightly. Well, it shows me that you have been blind as you have. Perform your best for every time.
Social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk.
Does your business have great customer service? Are you a successful small or large business? Are you creative or innovative? Whatever your business strengths, you need to shout them out. So what's stopping you? Enter the Kent Business Awards now. Get your easy-to-complete application form from businessawardskent.co.uk.
Callis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out callisifa.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Hey, three steps to heaven. Shawadi wadi. Do you see what I did there?
Excellent.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, we've got quite a few new listeners around Hastings area, haven't we?
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us about it.
There's some listeners in Hastings.
Just curmudgeonly.
I don't know who they are.
Hastings, and you mentioned another town.
Yeah, well, there's Jill. She's listening.
Jill in Hastings.
Yeah, and Ted, he's listening.
What's the other town?
St. Leonard's.
And
everywhere in between. Rye.
That? Yeah, Rye. See, I knew there was a Rye's very she-she, isn't it?
Is it?
Oh, yeah. Isn't it? I thought it was very cheesy and go get
it. Rye's very nice. It's a very pretty town.
Or are you being Rye?
No. Strand Quay and the harbour's lovely. They haven't got any water anymore, but they've got a quay and a harbour.
Water.
It's a sink port without a port because it's not on the coast any longer, but it's a lovely place.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, welcome to our new listeners. We love you and thank you for tuning in. And if you want to tell us about any independent businesses in your area, especially Hastings, which I don't know much about and I'd love to visit, do tweet us.
There was a bit of a battle there once.
Was there? 1066?
Yeah. It wasn't actually in Hastings, but yeah.
Yeah, Battle of Hastings. Why is it that's the only thing I ever learnt at school?
Well, that's the only thing anybody ever learnt at school, isn't it?
And a baobab tree in geography.
And a what?
A baobab tree. That's all I can actually
say.
What
else a baobab tree?
Baobab tree. We learnt about it in geography.
What is it?
It's a big tree. You might know better. Nice. So it's a desert tree, and it's a big fat thing. Google it.
That's a cactus.
It's a big fat thing.
It's a cactus.
It's very good. You can buy like baobab creams now, can't you?
Oh, I knew there'd be some kind of medicinal nonsense involved in it.
Good. I've just sent my lovely niece some Marine College.
What's my
lovely auntie?
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, right, anyway, enough of that nonsense. It's an absolute pleasure to talk to somebody sensible.
I told you it's curmudgeonly today.
Yeah.
What happened? Something about ovens.
It's a pleasure to welcome onto the Business Monkey Show for the very first time the lovely Sam Dummer. Sam, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us. Sam is the CEO and founder of Step Resourcing. See what I did there? Three steps to heaven.
Love it.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure, Sam. Why don't we kick off? We found out just before we went on air that you got a bit of a background overseas, so we want to know about that. You grew up in South Africa.
I did grow up in South Africa. So I was born in South Africa in Durban, sunny old Durban, and I lived there till I was 15.
But you didn't pick up the accent, though.
I did, but I thankfully
you got rid of it.
So yes, I mainly get away with people not knowing that I'm from South Africa, which is always good.
Cool.
So yeah, moved over from South Africa when I was 15. We moved to Durham, so it was very nice.
You moved to Durham.
Yes.
Durham's
that
a lovely
place. Shock for
it
the
was
climate,
a shock.
Though.
So we left
the grey sky.
Yes, we left in the middle of December, and it was 35 degrees when we left Durban, and
guess
arrived
it's summer
there,
in December
and
in South Africa.
Snowing, and yes, it was a huge shock. I've never been anywhere this cold.
So your stepmother had to go out and buy lots of vests.
Yes, yeah, we did.
But Durham's a beautiful city, though, isn't it? My eldest son was at university there, and it's a fantastic place. Jamie, you might be able to. Jamie, my oldest son, claimed that he could find his way around Durham with a Canterbury street map. He said they were so identical as cities, even down to the same names of the streets, that he could walk around Durham streets with a Canterbury street map and find his way. I don't know how true that is. But,
to be fair, Durham City's not massive.
It's not. Well, North Canterbury, though, either, really, to be fair. Although
Canterbury's quite lots of little higgledy-piggledy, cobbledy.
Yeah, they're both early medieval cathedral cities, aren't they? So they're going to be fairly similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a lovely place, Durham. So how long were you in Durham, Sam?
We were there for about a year and a half.
Right.
And then my dad got a job down in Sittingbourne Paper Mill, so the family all got moved down to Sittingbourne.
Oh,
so,
lovely.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then been in Kent ever since.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So give us a bit of background to you prior to you founding Step Resourcing. What's your background?
So when I left school at 16, I started a training to be an accountant. So I did that. So I qualified as an accounting technician when I was 19.
Right.
And then worked in various practices doing accounts. Then I did my taxation exams. And worked in various accountants for 13 years. Had a very strong sort of connection with the construction industry, doing a lot of tax returns.
Right.
A friend of mine set up a construction company, so I moved into that company from the accountants to be the finance manager, and worked there for the last 10 years. So sort of have a very big connection to sort of construction, and yeah, was looking for something different to do. Always wanted to sort of set up my own business, and thought, well, recruitment is a great thing to do. Never done recruitment as an entire career, but obviously recruited during my various jobs, and thought that moving into recruitment and construction was something where I had enough knowledge that I could kind of take it over onto it, and Step Resourcing was born November last year.
Fantastic. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But I love your background. It's unusual to have people that are accounts orientated and tax orientated actually go into another business. Of course, incredibly useful as long as you use those skills, because we're going to talk to Sally about this later. So many small businesses don't have those skills or don't focus enough on their management, accounts, cash flow and all that other stuff that we're going to talk to Sally about later. But so fascinating that you came from that background, and I'm really impressed by the fact that you're prepared to try something new and different as well. And I like that, you know, where people move, and because I'm a bit like that as well. People can't get hold of you if you keep moving. Is the way I look at it. So you launched in
November 22. Yes.
Okay. So tell us about Step Resourcing, what it is you do, what you focus on, where you're based and how you do it.
So Step Resourcing is a temporary labour agency for the construction industry. So we supply temporary labour to all different construction companies, you know, whether that be plumbing companies or actual main developers. So if you want labourers for a week or for a longer period or even for a day, we do have people calling us up wanting sort of labour for just one day. That's what we can do. We just sort of help you find the best labour that we can find that's right. available for your job. We try and help people. So we had one labourer that worked for a roofing company, absolutely brilliant. The roofing company was really happy with him and they decided to take him on. We want to sort of invest in people as well as in businesses, so we don't charge huge fees for people to take on our temporary labourers as permanent members of their staff or as their subcontractors. But I feel it helps getting individuals back into full-time jobs without being in the temporary sort of environment constantly, because, you know, that's... Yeah. Temporary's there to help people get back into job and also to help construction companies when they just need a little bit of help.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, if people need somebody more long-term, then that's great.
I mean, the nature of the construction industry is it's short-term projects, isn't it?
So you're not always going, you know, you're always going to have your workforce that you need on a regular basis.
Yeah.
But there'll always be sort of different parts of your projects where you'll need additional labour, you know, due to anything, you know, it could just be that somebody's going on holiday and you need a bit of cover, or you just maybe, you know, falling behind or something and you need a little bit of an extra push on it.
Sure.
Or you can't find the tradespeople that you need, or you're struggling with the ones that you are getting in.
We'll talk about that in a moment.
Okay.
It's an interesting business to be in construction because there's a lot of rules and regulations as well with CFC cars, and also I don't know if they've implemented it yet, which is the reverse VAT nonsense that they were coming out with. I mean, goodness gracious me. I mean, talk about finding the wrong people to make something that complicated. You can imagine HMRC sitting in a meeting going, who are the worst people for doing their tax returns? We're builders. Okay, well, let's make a really, really complicated VAT system and see how they cope with that.
Yeah, they get on. The whole construction, you know, like you say, the beginning part of builders are not renowned for doing their paperwork, their accounts, their tax returns, you know, and I remember when I started doing tax returns, I don't know, when I was 20, and somebody explained to me all the CIS system and they said, you know, they did it because builders were that bad at sort of maintaining and keeping their tax records and things like that, so it was an easier way of doing it. I think construction does have some of the most complex sort of sections that, you know, that they have to deal with.
It never ceases to amaze me how HMRC and our wonderful government can make everything as complicated as they do. Our tax code has 12,000 pages to our tax code. There's more than 1,500 loopholes and ways around that you can avoid various taxes. And they introduce new regulations without ever taking anything away, and therefore it gets very rickety, creates its own loopholes because they haven't thought everything through. But anyway, I mean, so good luck. Is what I'm saying. Good luck with that.
We love a challenge.
Yeah.
Always good.
So, from your point of view, Sam, how's the landscape looking in terms of availability of construction and tradespeople?
It all depends. There seems to be sections where they go up and down. So before Christmas, sort of looking for carpenters, you couldn't find one for, you know, for love nor money.
Rocking horse poo.
So I don't know what they were all doing around Christmas time, but now, you know, it seems to be easier. General labourers are always easy people to sort of find.
Right.
Obviously, you always have the struggles with making sure that, you know, people do turn up every single day. You know, but it is all about encouraging them, speaking to them, and trying to make sure that, you know, that is going to be comfortable when they get onto site. It's not going to be scary. And then most of the, you know, because a lot of the labourers are the younger generation.
Sure.
And I can imagine going onto a massive big building site can be quite daunting for people. So labour is out there. It just depends, really, I think, you know, on basically on the seasons or the times. At the moment, obviously, everybody wants landscapers or ground workers.
Yeah.
because everybody's having their gardens done and stuff like that. So there's loads of companies that are all after people that can, you know, lay their paving slabs and that. So they sort of are, you know, extremely hard to get hold of at the moment. But there are people out there, you know, you just got to sort of take the time and have a look and that.
I mean, one of the problems that the construction industry faced is that they spent a long time not really training enough new trades. Yeah, they were importing cheap labour from Eastern Europe. In lieu of bothering to train anyone, and that's come back big time to haunt them, which means we don't have enough enough people coming into the industry locally.
And the trades, you know, I met a very, very good bricklayer, for example, and he's probably in his 60s, and I think those kind of traditional, you know, trades are often dying out, aren't they? But I mean, a good bricklayer is amazing.
It is amazing.
To watch that art, a bit like thatch roofers as well, you know, these old arts, we need to keep them going.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah, they're building a house in the state next to us with thatch roofs.
Really?
No.
Solar? Are they putting solar panels on?
No, unbelievably, no, they're not. And they,
water
you know,
No.
Anyway, Sam, let's ignore it. You're sourcing primarily temporary contract staff into the construction field, presumably in Kent, or do you work wide or afield?
Kent and London. Right. If we've got an existing client that maybe wants some labour outside of the Kent and London area, then obviously we can source it for them, but mainly Kent and London. So what we like to do is we like to go out to site. Once we've placed somebody on site, we like to go out and do a site visit to them.
Yeah, you take your hard hat and your high vis.
Our hard hat, our hard vis, and our boots.
Yeah, I bet you're popular on site though, aren't you?
We do cause a bit of a stir.
Yep.
Yes. So my colleague Paige, who works with me, she does a lot of the site visits too. But yeah, we like to go out and obviously meet people.
Yeah.
Because obviously a lot of the recruitment now is all done online over, you know, over the telephone, over email. So it's nice to actually meet people face to face. I think it gives a nice a personal service, so we do try and do a site visit, take a little goodie bag along, which obviously everybody likes a freebie and a nice something. So yeah, so that's why we try and stick to Kent and London, because obviously it's easier accessible for us to sort of get out and do the site visits.
On a slightly downbeat note, Sally and I were at an event a few weeks ago where we were talking, it was I don't know what you call it, workshop, seminar, wasn't it, Sally, where we were talking about mental health issues in construction, and was it 517 suicides in the last 12 months on building sites?
Unbelievable.
Why
is that? From the lockdown?
Well, there are lots of reasons why people become mentally affected. I think the consensus, Sally, if you remember, most people said, well, the problem with building sites is it's hairy ass builders, they won't seek help.
They
won't talk. No matter what the construction companies do to try and help, they won't use it, they won't go and seek help, they just go to the pub and get drunk, which just makes it even worse.
It's a bit of a generalisation, not all of them go to the pub and get drunk, but they're tough,
and you know, that's the problem that they face, is that people won't ask for help when they need it.
We've got a load of construction going on in Whitstable, and I was watching the angle grinders. The worst thing, isn't it, that noise? This morning, as I was having my little smoothie, the angle grinders going on. And I watched him, and the dust was all coming out. He's on the roof, and he wasn't wearing a mask. And I thought, his little lungs, you know, surprising how many young builders don't wear masks.
No.
They don't look cool, does it, while they're whistling at people in the street?
I know. Nobody whistles at me anymore.
You're not allowed to whistle anyway.
And No.
I would welcome anyone whistling at me nowadays. Do you get involved?
You see, even stands by the kettle. Just in case.
Even that doesn't whistle. I've got a hot water tap.
Yeah, they don't whistle anymore, do they?
I'd whistle at you if I was a man. Nice. I definitely would, yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say, do you get involved with apprenticeships?
We haven't done, no. We have looked into it, but sort of providing apprenticeships under a temporary sort of basis is a lot harder. It doesn't really work. I think to sort of follow all the rules of the apprenticeship, they need to be in permanent employment for a longer period of time. We do want to start moving into more permanent placement within the construction, for looking at the construction offices and stuff like that. So in that in that instance, we will be able to look at apprenticeship.
So that is something you're thinking of doing is permanent recruitment.
It's permanent,
Okay.
And are you getting female builders and things?
We've had a couple of females apply for a few jobs, but we haven't unfortunately placed anybody yet.
Funnily enough, in Kent especially, there's quite an infrastructure around women in construction. Cheryl Crawsbrook and Ella Brookerbank are the two ladies that run Women in Construction.
We
in
should
Kent.
Hook you up with them. Remember that. Make a note. Women in Construction. Cheryl and Sue, isn't it?
Cheryl Crawsbrook and Ella Brookerbank.
Ella.
Okay. Is that right?
Sounds like the Brocklebank bit. It's a great name, isn't it? Brocklebank. I bet that's up north too. Brocklebank.
There's another group as well. I can't remember what they're called.
I had a lady handy woman who was very good. Sue, her name was. She goes, trying to find a handyman, just someone or a woman, just someone who comes in and does all the jobs that your new husband doesn't do. My new husband's terrible around the house.
Hold on, you had a handyman called Sue?
I had a handy woman called Sue. She had her own van and everything else. And she did a few jobs for me. And then I had one guy who was quite good. But then they just disappear. It's very odd. It's very they're sort of one-man bands. And you just get them started. And then they sort of go down the pub, as Paul alluded to. Or they just disappear. But, you know, an odd job person where you've got, like, maybe a day's work or something like that. It's quite... Have you got anybody like that on your books?
We haven't got anybody, no. But we have had a couple of people ask us about sort of having some handymen and that.
God, it's essential.
Women that could come...
And you think of all the pensioners that live alone and, you know, like, my mum, you know, since my father died, he, you know, her place is... I hope she's not listening, but it's looking a bit, you know, just the garden, because he was brilliant and he'd paint the shed and all that sort of stuff. So, handyman, that's what I need. And even someone to sweep. Like, I sweep. Like, it's bloody exhausting. You know, like...
Having to get a broom out and sweep.
Well, I do it, but it's, like, exhausting. And then my back hurts and that. And then the new husband's sitting there, you know, pretending to work on his laptop in the garden. Well, sweep.
Who was it that did a boy named Sue?
Johnny Cash.
Of course it was, that's who I was trying to think of. Johnny Cash. So, Sam, it's 6 or 7 months, from eight months into running a business. How do you feel about it now?
I'm absolutely loving it. Cool. I want it to obviously continue growing. You know, it's getting there. We're getting new clients as we sort of go, but obviously we want to increase our number of clients and that. And, but I'm really, really enjoying it. So.
How are you acquiring clients through word of mouth, or have you a specific marketing campaign, or is it a collection of different things?
It's a collection of things, so do some networking, that really helps us. Word of mouth, so once we've sort of done a job for somebody, we've been recommended, so that's going quite well as sort of trying to do some advertising. We need to sort of like up our advertising and our marketing a little bit.
You can only do what you can do, and to be perfectly frank, word of mouth is by far the most powerful.
Trying to get out and meet as many people as you can. You know, a lot of construction companies, they don't like temporary labour, they don't like agencies, it's not always their most favourite thing to do. You'll have the ones that will always use them, ones that use them because they have to, and ones that don't want to use them, but it's just about getting out and meeting people and speaking to them
and
winning them over.
You're absolutely right, and I think, you know, those that don't like agencies are normally because they've been ripped off or they haven't had a good service. If they find someone they can work with and can trust, then it makes there's no reason why they wouldn't, if you see what I mean. So I know you do most of it digitally, online and via phone these days, because that's how most businesses work. But where are you actually based?
So we're based in Chatham,
right,
at the very top end of Lordswood. So we have an office in Bredhurst Business Park.
Cool.
So based there.
Sam, we wish you continued success with your new business.
So
well done on doing something different and making it so successful. If people want to find out more about Step Resourcing, what's the best way to do that?
So we're on all social media accounts, and our website is www.stepresourcing.co.uk. I'm on LinkedIn, so Samantha Gummer. you want to find me on LinkedIn. But yeah, we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and even TikTok.
Oh, yes.
We are.
You do dance videos on TikTok, do you?
No, does make me eat some weird stuff to do some videos.
In your little hard hat and high-vis vest, yeah. Sam, thank you so much for that. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But
thank
for the moment,
so
Sam
much.
Gummer, Step Resourcing. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. Right, what have we got?
Well, as a building award that's been awarded... it's the Maidstone Innovation Centre, and the building has won Best Architectural Design. So I need a photo of this building, please, if anybody's listening.
What building is it?
It's the Maidstone Innovation Centre.
Oh, right, okay, sorry, I beg your pardon.
Part of the South East Construction Award.
Right, okay.
So it's moving swiftly on from you.
Yeah.
That's at Junction 7 of the M20, isn't it?
Yeah, it was part-funded by the European Regional Development Fund 2014 to 2020. I guess that's gone now, the European Development
Fund. No, I think they've still got money washing around
really?
In it. Yeah, yeah.
It offers state-of-the-art facilities with flexible working spaces, offices, meeting rooms, and conference facilities. It's part of the Kent Medical Campus, and it's aimed at businesses working in the life science, healthcare and medical sectors. The award was given to MBC Bond Bryan Architects Limited and Ryden Construction Limited for the work on the MIC, that's the Maidstone Innovation Centre, MIC, MIC, recognising those projects which have been designed in sympathy with their local environment, are innovative, fit for purpose, and have achieved practical completion during the previous year. So well done, those. There is a little website here, which is www.maidstoneinnovationcentre.co.uk, which I'm sure has got lots of pretty pictures of it. And their Twitter is Maidstone Centre. You can follow them. And it looks like there's a little email here, innovation@maidstone.gov.uk.
Fantastic.
Well done.
I had a tweet from Tracy Ferguson. She says, listening live, hello everyone. She says, I was a bit late to the Business Bunker party, but looking forward to the rest of the show. But she tweeted this like 15 minutes ago, so she just joined us in time to hear from Sam, which is nice, isn't it?
Lovely.
Yeah.
And she hails from Rochester, so she's quite near you.
Yeah.
Because Chatham and Rochester are sort of almost twixt each other, aren't they?
Yeah, but careful, right. Don't they? So, you start a turf war there.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. They're a little turf war
going. Yeah, all the people in Rochester are going, we ain't from Chatham.
We're from Chatham.
We're from the posh end of the Midway Towns. Yeah.
When I truck to London quite frequently, and you come through on the train, it's beautiful, isn't it? You come through to Rochester and you see all the little, I love all the little Victorian buildings and things as you come along.
And
the
then
train.
You get to Chatham.
A family owned Kent fruit farm has just signed a £13 million deal with Aldi to exclusively supply the supermarket giant with British apples and pears.
Excellent.
That's a lot of apples and pears
that
for 30
excellent.
Million quid.
Wow. Yeah.
The contract's been awarded to Rochester-based AC Goatham & Son, which has 26 farms all over the county producing Royal Gala apples, Braybourne apples and Conference pears. Founded in 1947 and run by Clive Goatham and his sons Ross, the business will now be Aldi's sole supplier of British apples, providing an estimated 45 million to its stores across the country each year. The contract is a huge fivefold increase in supply to the supermarket since the farmer first began working with Aldi in 2016. Fantastic. What a brilliant result. Well done.
Name of the farm?
AC Goatham. G-O-A-T-H-A-M. Goatham and Son. AC Goatham and Son.
O-T-H-A-M. Sounds like...
Gotham.
Batman, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Gotham City Apples.
Yeah, apples.
It's
all right.
Gotham and Son. AC Goatham and Son. Based in Rochester.
I'm so happy because, you know, on my way home last Tuesday, I stopped off at... one of my favourite farm shops, which is Mallard's Farm in Faversham.
Duck.
And they were on my BBC show a while back. And their produce is absolutely amazing.
They were on her BBC show.
Yeah, I had to talk proper. But my son was really funny because he was cooking breakfast for Father's Day, Shay, and they were in a Mallard's Farm box, so it said Mallard's Farm. So he said to Gavin, my new husband, do you want duck eggs? And he said, we haven't got duckers. He said, yeah, it says mallard on here. It was quite sweet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was embarrassed. But it's a great little farm shop. The strawberries, the raspberries, the smell, the scent, and his new potatoes are something else. You just lightly boil them, steam them even, a little bit of butter, a knob of butter, a little bit of olive oil, sprinkle with sea salt. Absolutely divine. Wilger potatoes, they are. He grows them himself.
Wilger,
yeah, W-I-L-J-A. And you won't find them in a supermarket. You do not get that flavour in a supermarket. Find your local farm shop, people.
Wilger,
yeah.
Wilger.
Yeah, have you never heard of a Wilger?
No.
Oh, well, they're amazing. They're little, and they just, you could just eat them.
And they're like salad potatoes,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, new potatoes to you.
Right, okay.
Yeah, salad potatoes. But you can have them with other things, not just salad.
Chips.
Yeah. I did a very nice thing. I did a very nice thing. I had a glut of organic carrots, so I thought, we don't really want hot food at the moment. So I grated them with some raw garlic as well, grated that in, and then a few cranberries, like real cranberries, and then tahini. And I mixed in the tahini. And it was absolutely delicious, very nice. I haven't done that for a while. I did it about 15 years ago. And everybody went wild about it. And then it's a bit like a coleslaw, but it's with tahini, so it's a bit more healthy. And then the next day, it was a bit, because it had been in Tupperware, it was a little bit dry, because tahini is quite dry, being a nut. So then I drizzled a little bit of Kentish honey on the top and mixed that in, and it was really nice.
Lovely.
Yeah. That tonight.
I'm so good, yeah. I can't, I haven't got an oven.
Yeah, it's cold, it's grated.
Oh, right.
But the only thing when you grate as a woman, your fingernails, very difficult, isn't it?
Oh, isn't life difficult?
Yeah.
Isn't life difficult?
You sometimes grate a little bit of your skin in and nobody notices. Just eat it. It's all protein, isn't it?
Best bit.
Yeah.
The Rebel School has got another free business support course coming up for Kent. And I wanted to make sure that everybody in the community knows about it. The Practical Inspiring Action Focused course runs online from the 10th to the 21st of July and helps people to start and grow businesses in a straightforward way and without getting into debt. Here's some of the small selection of feedback we've received from recent attendees. It's an amazing workshop, very clear, really helped me push forward with my business and my business idea to the point where I am now up and trading. Thank you so much for your support. I am from Ukraine and I'm now getting used to life in the UK, but I can see that we have many similar things in both our countries, and this is so much appreciated that you showed me a part of creating a business here. And the third testimonial says, I cannot even say more than thank you. I'm a dropout from every school and education union college I've ever been to, and I've never completed a course before because I always drop out. But I finished something for the first time in my life and started a business. So how brilliant is that? You can find more information about the Rebel Business School and sign up by going to therebelschool.com/Kent. If you remember, Henry Nicholson, who runs the Rebel School, was on the show about 3 months ago.
Yeah, cool man.
Yeah, the Rebel Business School does business startup events around the country. They're all free. It's funded. They're an independent company, but they're funded by the government to run these events. And one of the things that I really like about them is they cut the normal bull you get with things like that and talk very realistically. That, yeah, exactly. Sally's showing me her book, which we're going to talk about, which is a no bullshit business book, and that's exactly the same thing that the Rebel School do. It's a no bull business startup. So the next one in Kent, 10th to the 21st of July, it's online, so you don't have to go anywhere. therebelschool.com/Kent if you want to find out more about it.
My Twitter's so busy. Canterbury City Show. It's been created by the Canterbury Residents Group and Canterbury Community Group. And you're going to find out details of them on kentbusinessradio.co.uk, /calendar. And it's the birth of an annual Canterbury tradition. And they say join in and you won't regret it. And it's the 8th and the 9th of July. So that's a diary date for you. It's the Canterbury City Show.
It's a new one.
It is a new one.
Yeah.
Coffee morning at Kenwood.
Yeah, go on. Go
sorry,
for it.
You were grumbling. I just thought I'd carry on.
Yeah, go for it.
Coffee morning at Kenwood. Grumbling Kenwood. So it's monthly. You get a little cake or a savoury. And the next one is Thursday, the 29th of June. It's at 10:30 to 3 p.m. They say there's no need to book. You can turn up, and it's at the CAF. The cafe at Kenwood Trust, which is Kenwood Road, and that's Yalding, and that's M for Mother, E for Egbert, 18, 6A for Another, and H for Harry. And you can also, is the networking at the same place?
No.
Okay, so they have
networking is normally at Knoll Park in Southern Oaks.
It doesn't say. Oh yes, no pot is written at the end. So there's networking. This is quite interesting. So it's for local businesses and individuals. You can network face to face, and it gives you an opportunity to build valuable business relationships while enjoying a lovely walk and talk. And it takes about an hour with lunch provided by Thackeray Williams Solicitors. And as Paul rightly suggests, you meet outside the restaurant at Canoli Park.
Knoll Park.
Canoli Park. 30th of June, 10:30.
Do you know where Knoll Park is?
Do they have moles in Canoles?
It's Knoll. It's Knoll Park's in Sevenoaks.
Moles in Knolls.
Mm. Tracy Ferguson's tweeted again.
Oh.
She says, thank you for the mention, Paul. Yes, I heard most of Sam's interview, wishing her much success with her business. I love Chatham, so much history there, and sad to see the neglect of some of the amazing once grand big houses. I live in one of those little Victorian houses, Jules.
Oh, I know she does.
Yeah.
And have you seen her etchings? She's been doing some lovely etchings lately. Her
etchings?
Art.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I peruse them. I think I was on Instagram. I don't really like going on Instagram. I force myself to go on once a week or something and put on some ooh-ah picture that I find. But but her etchings are beautiful, her art.
Yeah.
She's very talented.
Yeah.
And, yeah, she lives in one of those lovely little Victorian. I could probably wave to her as I trundle off to London.
Mm-hmm.
Next meeting of the famous Marsh Network. Is at the Ship Inn in Dymchurch. It's on the 29th of June. It's a morning one. It's 7:45 to 9:15. www.marshnetwork.co.uk to book. We haven't heard from our friend Terry, have we, today?
Terry Thorpe?
Yeah.
Now, he's up to something at the moment.
Is he?
Yeah, he's up to something.
Cars and things still?
I'm not sure what he's up to at the moment. Yeah, he's doing a lot of work with the Tenterton Chamber because, obviously, they're sponsoring the new Spirit of Tenterton Festival, so they're doing a lot of work with that. He's helping me promote one of my new places as well.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to do a little advert for my two new places, the Trading Post Tenterton, which is a mixed business centre, which we're about to open at the beginning of July.
I'm coming to that.
You are.
Yeah,
you can't bring your dog. No, you can't bring your dog.
Emails.
You can't bring your dog.
Oh, she would love to come.
Yeah, I'm sure she... No, she wouldn't. It's a building site.
Yeah, and there's pizza.
Yeah. It's four buildings, one of which is co-working, the other three are available for office space. It's about 15,000 square feet in landscape gardens built around a lake with a fountain. It's lovely. And then, of course, the cathedral. The Cathedral of Commerce is opening the first week in July. The Island Works Sheerness, which is the...
That looks like a beautiful building.
It is absolutely stunning.
Can you worship there at the same time?
No, not anymore. It's a converted church, £9 million refurbishment. We're opening in the first week of July.
Wow.
Co-working event space, publicly open coffee shop, display of a model of the Napoleonic dockyard, which was found secreted in a basement in Plymouth and has been dusted off, put in an air-conditioned cabinet, and is on display in the main area of the Dockyard Church called Island Works now. The entrance to Sheerness Docks.
I saw a photo of it. It looked absolutely stunning.
It is. And I know it's my building, but it's absolutely stunning. It really is unbelievable. And even the photographs don't do it justice. When you actually walk in the place, your jaw just drops. It's just unbelievably nice. It's like a cathedral. Right. What are we going to do now? I'll tell you what we're going to do now.
We've got 1 minute, so it could be news.
What we're going to do now is we're going to join the newsroom, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to Sally. We've got a lovely Sally Brady here.
I'm hoping Sam's going to get her biscuits out.
And
she said 2 p.m.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah, Jules.
Yeah. 2 p.m. The biscuits
coming out. Yeah, Jules is getting withdrawal symptoms.
They're not just any biscuits, you know,
yeah.
They're border biscuits.
Yeah. Okay, so let's join the newsroom, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to Sally. Here we go.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.